Will you remain standing, please, and join me in responsive reading number 7 from the 92nd Psalm. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound.
For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy word. I will glad in the works of thy hands.
O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
A foolish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever.
Thou, Lord, most high, forevermore.
For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish.
All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered.
The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They shall bring forth fruit in old age.
To show that the Lord is the rock, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Let us pray together. Our Father, we call upon thy name because we know thou art not only there, but here. In the consciousness of thy searching presence, we come, therefore, with eager and fearful hearts to speak thy name, to inquire of thee, and to open up our seared, sealed consciences to thy judging grace. Help us now, before we begin to parade our goodness before thee or to vie with each other for a favored position among thy children, to confess our faults to thee. For we have found that we cannot confess to one another what we would hide from thee, and we cannot confess to thee without confessing to one another as well. In good times and in bad, we have sinned against thee. We have been willing to call upon thee only if we felt neither weak nor strong. For strong we do not need thee, and weak we fear to trust thee. Forgive us, O God, for praising power and being barely tolerant of goodness. Have mercy upon us for the wrongs we actively pursue, for those we allow to be done in our presence without protest, and for those whose evil fruits we greedily accept. We are more concerned with reputation than with character, more anxious about our goals than about thy purpose, more devoted to meeting our own shallow wants than to meeting the deepest needs of others. We confess that we have sinned against thee and against each other in solitude, and we have shared by our cowardice, our complacency, or our love of ease in the sins of one another. Here, now, as we lay bare our sinful selves to thee, do thou give us the sharp and cleansing comfort of thy forgiving judgment. We would thank thee for the grace of thy truth by which our minds are enchanted and our intentions are made more noble. We praise thee for the hands and hearts of those who love us, for the shelter of day's end and the exaltation of new morning as it falls fresh from thy clean hands, for the voices of children and the songs of thy church, for the splendor of autumn and the promise of spring, for the goodly heritage of prophets, and for the transforming gift of thy beloved Son. Before thee we lift up the burdens and pains of thy children, our sisters and brothers. May thy presence illumine all the dark corners of existence. Let thy suffering serve to give meaning and dignity to the unmeasured suffering of the sick, the bereaved, the persecuted, the lonely, the defeated, and the dying. Send into their lives the incarnate presence of thy love in us, and make us messengers of thy peace. Let light be given to the troubled and unsure. Strengthen the steps of the faltering ones. Grant wisdom beyond our years, beyond our understanding, and beyond our dreams, for the fulfillment in obedience of the work to which thou hast set our hands in this thy world. Hear our prayer now, if we pray in the name of thy Son, our Lord. Amen. How easy it is to pretend to be thankful. One can let the pretense serve in place of the reality in so many different ways. In these moments today, I invite you to join me in anticipating the day of Thanksgiving, to reflect even now upon what it means, or rather, more precisely, upon what it does not mean. Thus preparing ourselves more fully today to participate with fullness of spirit in the intention of Thanksgiving Day. Let me confess to you that I have been brought to these meditations not by the approaching holiday, but by an uncomfortable awareness of how easily I say thank you and how poorly I realize I actualize what it means. So this is intended as an exercise in self-searching. It may be that you will search your own inner self as I search mine, and that we shall find healing in the hurt that issues from that probing search. First, the pretense of thanksgiving is fostered by the notion that it can be a sometime thing, that we can set aside a day on which to pay our annual debts of gratitude, that this is something like a celestial April 15th, when the taxes of gratitude are due. I find myself inclined toward this notion when I tell myself now, it's more than 2 weeks until Thanksgiving Day. 2 weeks indeed. Thanksgiving Day was yesterday, and it is today, and it must be tomorrow. Or if it was not, is not, should not be, then it cannot be here on Thursday, November 28. It is not too early now to begin celebrating Thanksgiving Day of 1974. Let us only hope and pray that it is not too late. For if we have been so long attuned to the very antithesis of Thanksgiving, we cannot rightly expect that somehow we shall be turned in the twinkling of an eye into grateful and gracious and generous persons at the sight of a pumpkin pie or a festive dried arrangement on a banquet table. If I have here taken away from our leaders in chapel of next week and the next, if I have taken away some of their thunder, so let it be. It is not the essence of Thanksgiving, after all, that it come with the crashing thunder of a surprise holiday or an unanticipated feast, as is true with most of God's gifts. So with the gift, the privilege of giving thanks, one must prepare even for this. Second, the pretense of thanksgiving is often fostered by the persuasion that we really are deserving of all the good things we enjoy. Now, a necessary self-esteem is a part of being truly human, and I would not for a moment suggest that we return to the mode and the mood of the gospel song that hails ourselves with the demeaning words, "Such a worm as I." But on the other hand, and there is indeed another hand, healthy self-esteem is not to be confused with the notion that the universe exists in order to satisfy our needs, our desires, or even our whims. Just now, in this very decade, perhaps for the first time in all human experience, we are coming to the realization that such a notion, or the attitude which produces the notion, is intolerable, impossible, in a world whose resources are, after all, limited, a world in which some do not have enough for survival and cannot have enough, in part because we have more than we need. By the same logic as that which has fostered the notion of a favored people, a master race, or a superior culture, we look with self-satisfaction upon the wealth that is heaped up around us and persuade ourselves that we are indeed the apple of the divine eye, that God is to be congratulated upon having had the good sense to discern our intelligence and, in submissive acknowledgement of that goodness, has decided to reward it with this abundance. When we are possessed by this conviction, then we can utter words of thanksgiving, but they are only a cloak for our true intention, which is to praise ourselves and to declare that all this for which we give thanks is really nothing more than our rightful due. Third, the pretense of thanksgiving may be an expression of greed, closely related, I fear, to that inordinate self-esteem. When we utter words of thanks to God, let us be sure that we are not using these words to deceive ourselves in this regard. Are we saying something like this? Look, I didn't seize all this. I didn't grasp it. God gave it to me. So don't look at me with hungry and accusing eyes, you starving wretches in the ghetto or in the Sahara Desert. It's God's doing, not mine. With such words, we may be attempting to conceal our greed the lust for more that has already brought this much into our grasp, and that will tirelessly range to and fro across the earth in the drive to add yet more houses and lands, more stocks and bonds, more gadgets and trinkets to our hoard. It seems to me that greed is closely akin to fear. And like fear, it is utterly irrational. Hence, all the reason that we can muster is not enough to dispel it, nor can we exorcise this evil spirit merely by uttering the ritual words of thanksgiving. Indeed, we may more surely and firmly establish it within the household of ourselves. Behind the superficial words of thanksgiving may lie the monster of greed that threatens to devour us as soon as it has completed the deprivation of those around us. Therefore, we must be cautious when we voice the dangerous words of thanksgiving. Fourth, the pretense of thanksgiving may indeed be mere thanks speaking. Human language is a delicate flower, easily injured by crude and insensitive handling. We have discovered that it is possible to say a word of thanks that has no connection with the realities of spirit, attitude, or intention. And when we do this, we abuse both the language and the grace of gratitude. Lyricists rightly praise the magic of the little words, "I thank you." But their praise ought to be followed with the warning that one can so flippantly, so easily, so roughly throw these words about that they are bruised, broken, mutilated. Then they become a hindrance to genuine gratitude because they are substituted for it, and we are insensitive to what we have done. So I campaign not for less utterance of gratitude, but for more authentic, heartfelt giving of thanks. Strangely absent up to this point are words about the affirmative realities of gratitude to God. But let me come back now to say two things which may reassure you. My first word is this. What I have said has dwelt on negative themes by deliberate design. I have deliberately called attention to our faults, our follies, our greed. But this, of course, is not the last word. In the days that are ahead, we may surely hear, utter, and often repeat those more affirmative words, those notes, those songs of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And this leads me to the second reassuring word. We are here, in this place, because our lives are centered in God, even beyond our knowing or our confessing. Hence, any utterance of gratitude to each other, within the family, among friends, is really a code word for gratitude to God, even when we do not know it. We are privileged, however, to go beyond that and specifically to give thanks to God. And we gather here in this house today because we are inwardly compelled to such thanksgiving. Indeed, is not our presence itself a giving of thanks? And this new Thanksgiving season affords us new opportunity to voice, to sing, and more, to give thanks to Him for His incomparable gifts to us. Let us pray. Save us, O Lord, from drowning in our own words. Give to us the truth, the meaning, the joy of giving thanks. Let the light of understanding, the grace of gratitude, and the peace of submission to thy holy will sustain us. and enable us to praise thee by word and by deed, through Jesus Christ our Lord.